Okay, what is going on YouTube? Welcome back to another FPL family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And we went on the FPL show last Thursday, Sam. I'm having a bit of a laugh in the car on the way back because I got a bit flustered on the show. I got a bit flustered and I made a couple of, let's face it, out there suggestions. I said if the goalkeeper that you're looking at between now and the end of the season was Jordan Pickford, that was the one I put out there. And I think I said put a cheeky punt on Benteke as well. Turns out I should get flustered more often.
Your little crystal ball out.
Two little pretty good picks there, right? Pickford and Benteke today. Not bad, eh? Not bad.
What game week is this?
What game week
Pickford
is this?
Benteke.
What even season is this, Sam? What even season is this? I noticed B's in the chat already. She's saying
triple
game weeks are overrated.
I've just looked at this. That can absolutely go.
Well, no, I've got the Leeds badge on there. We're going to talk about Leeds United tonight.
No!
They've got three strong fixtures for the running, Sam. Just beating a very good Spurs side. Back on the radar, aren't they?
No, it's gone.
The title of the live stream.
And right, he can go as well.
Zach Watkins.
Watkins.
So, one for the podcast listeners, as usual. Podcast listeners, welcome to the FPL Family live stream audio. Sam's just throwing stickers around. Not only is this kind of stickers on the tactics board there a pretty... It's a pretty bad, let's face it, it's a pretty bad feature for the podcast listeners anyway. But when you start throwing stickers around, it's even worse. It's even worse. But guys,
welcome. I forgot to supervise this.
Well, I've just gone ahead and done it, didn't I, tonight?
Yeah.
Just gone ahead and done it.
That should be
Bruno's on there with a bit of elite. An elite Bruno. Is he elite today or was he just...
Oh, no, you got a penalty.
Got the pen, which, okay, is he elite? I don't know. Here's a team very much elite right now. Chelsea Football Club. We'll talk about them a bit later on.
Yeah,
and
fair enough.
A team that are far from elite but might just be in the conversation for fourth. Liverpool. We'll talk about them as well. Well, suddenly it's all looking quite tight up in that fourth spot, isn't it?
Didn't we have this last year? My memory might be mistaken, but didn't we have a situation last year where nobody wanted to finish fourth? And
pretty
everyone
much.
Just started
yeah,
throwing it
much.
Away. What is happening? It's happening again. Everyone who is in the hunt, apart from Liverpool, just...
Well, listen, we've done our best to throw points away in previous weeks. So the fact we get a win against a team that hasn't won away from home since God was a boy is frankly a miracle. And even then, we made a meal of it, didn't we, at the weekend. We'll talk about that game a bit later on because...
For the record, if you ever get an opportunity to watch football with Lee...
Don't watch
just
it
say
me.
No.
Don't watch
just
Liverpool.
Just say no. If anyone ever says... You know, if Lee ever comes to you and goes...
No,
you
football.
No.
Watching football with me is fun. Watching Liverpool with me is stressful for
if
the
Lee
people that are in the room.
If invites you to come and watch Liverpool with him, no.
Don't do it.
You're busy.
Don't do it.
You're busy.
I was quite...
That's what I should have said the day he asked me to marry him. I'm busy.
Quite animated, to say the least. Quite animated, to say the least. Guys, welcome to the live stream. We are, of course... halfway through a jumbo game week, game week 35. There's a game going on as we speak. So literally, this live stream, anything can still happen in game week 35. So of course we're going to have a bit of a checkpoint. We're going to look at how our teams are getting on so far in game week 35. But there is a lot of football to be played. A lot of football to be played up until Thursday when the game week finishes. I think it's Thursday,
yeah,
is it? With the Manchester United game. And then the next game week 36 starts on Friday. So... you barely have time to take a breath, frankly, sort of Friday during the day, UK time, before we then kick in with another game week deadline at the end of Friday. So
at
listen,
least
it's all
normal.
Go. It's all go. Well, right now it's normal, but who knows what rioting or what the hell might happen, you know?
Well, let's hope not.
Nothing normal about this season, is there? I thought we were having a normal game week last game week, and it never turned out that normal.
That's true.
Now we're in the doubles, and we're going to...
triple.
You say normal, we've got teams that blank in game week 36, haven't we?
Oh yeah, we do.
What are you talking about? It's not normal.
Oh, I forgot about
There's
the blanks.
There's such thing as a normal game week, Sam. We've got four teams, I think, that don't play.
You're right.
So, listen,
was,
it's not,
in
it's
my head,
far from normal.
In my head, it was 37. It's not.
No.
It's blank 36 first.
We've got blank 36 coming up that starts next Friday, then it's 37. Which
on
at the,
Tuesday.
Which at the moment is normal.
No, they
knows?
Have to stay normal. 37 and 38 have
yeah.
to be normal because fans in stands.
Fans in stands, which I, for one, am very much
Bums
looking forward
seats.
To. Very
Loving
much
it.
Looking forward to that. So we will have a bit of a checkpoint how we're getting on in game week 35, treble game week 35. Manchester United played one of their three games. More on those guys later on. I want to hear your scores in the live chat as well, guys, because I've seen really, really good scores. I've seen some not so good scores. It's another game week, which is splitting the community, frankly. And I don't know which side of it I'm on at the moment. I think just on the positive side, but we'll talk about our teams towards the end of the show. Let's get into the chat and say hello to a few people, Sam. First one on the list here is Mr. John Tyner. What are you doing? Putting the sticker back
I'm
up.
Getting Leeds back.
Put Leeds back. They are worthy of conversation. I know you don't want to talk about them.
I don't like them.
But they are worthy of conversation. And I, for one, I can't believe that I got rid of Stuart Dallas on my wild card. What an absolute legend.
The worst thing is that you got rid of him on your wild card. He then got that brace.
I know.
And then I immediately did it as well.
I know. What are we all thinking? Any other FPL season, and you have a 4.5, as he was at the beginning, a 4.5 out of position defender in an attacking lead side, he's a season keeper. Do not get rid of him. That's one of my lessons learned from this season.
No, and the thing
What's the phrase? This is a typical Sam phrase. I think I've got this one. Is it don't look a gift horse in the mouth? Have I got that right?
Done, yeah.
Yes, go on, Leon, his phrases. Go on. That's Stuart Dallas right there. Gift horse. Don't look him in the mouth.
He was on my radar for game week 36, but, you know, clearly you just shouldn't have got rid of him full stop.
Should not have got rid of him. Doing sensationally well. So B is in. How are you doing, B? Very nice to see you. She says, I'm totally wildcarding, Sam. I need to schedule a Zoom. So there we go. B is one of our $10 tier patrons of Zoo. So B, thank you very much for your support. And it sounds like she needs a Zoom with you. It sounds like the wildcard is soon to be active. So look forward to hearing all about that one. Jamie Taylor is in. Very nice to see you, Jamie. How are we doing? Helen Franks is here. Only 53 for me. Yeah, that's not bad, Helen. That's okay. 53
is
not bad.
Can we even say only at the moment, given
so
how many games
to
have
play,
we still
Helen.
Got to
so
come?
Much football to play. Anything can still happen. No doubt about it. Michael Lund is in. How are we doing, Michael? Nice to see you. James Leosi is in. 77 with plenty to go. Ooh, nice one, James. Broke the top 50k this morning, which is some territory that you're trying to break into, which I think the Saka assist might just have peaked you in there, is it?
No, not quite yet, but
okay,
it's annoying because, oh, we'll talk about my team later, but anyone tell me where Joel Veltman is? Where is he?
We'll talk about the bench boost a bit later on. Because you played the bench boost chip this week. And even if he had played, I'm not convinced that, Ollie Watkins and Joel Veltman sort of ruining your bench boost, but we'll talk about them later on. Emily Rotherham is in. How are we doing, Emily? Nice to see you. Liam Healy is in. Liam, very nice to speak to you on our Manager of the Month video, which is that live on the channel now? Did we put the FPL Women's one out?
No, you put out Liam's
first. We put Liam's video out, didn't we? Yeah, so Liam's video. Guys, if you've not seen Liam Healy's Manager of the Month video, go check out on the channel after the live stream. Joe Findlay-Badder is in and moderating. How are we doing, Joe? Very nice to see you. Droodle is here. Hey, Droodle. Finn McCann just says, Lee, you're awesome. Thanks, Finn. Appreciate it. I'm not, but appreciate it. What? Very much Team Lee over here.
I mean, that was some favouritism.
Very much Team Lee, Finn. Thank you
very
much.
I'm happy about that.
Who else we've got? Mark Dorney, long-term FPL family supporter. Hey, Mark, how are we doing? Nice to see you. Angus Chow, Domster's FPL, and a whole host of you guys in. So thank you very much for joining us. There's the Twitter on the left-hand side. And, Sam, we need to get on with these games. Let's go to... as usual, got sort my windows out and I've not got them in the right order. Here's the window. Without the West Ham and Everton score or the Arsenal or West Brom score, that gives you a feel for
when you set this
when
up.
I set this up, which was some time ago. Let's go to it. Arsenal conceded. See that? West Brom.
Yeah, this Pereira. We talked about this.
Pereira, we did talk about that. Sorry.
Do you ever listen to what I say?
I don't. That's absolutely well documented that I don't. So lots to discuss tonight. I want to talk not just about the games and talk about our teams. I also want to give a patron update, but I also want to talk about a project that I've been working on at work. And when I say at work, for those of you that have been following FPL Family for some time, despite some of the rumours on Twitter, I'm not a full-time FPL manager, right? You do it with FPL Scout as part of your day-to-day 9-to-5, right? But I don't. I do something totally, totally different. And I work for a company called Oracle. Now, Oracle is important. That's a name you're going to hear a lot more in the Premier League circles next year because Oracle and the Premier League are partnering up for something called Match Insights. And I tweeted about it a few days ago and I got a bit of a... It's not really a promo. I'm not promoting anything. I just want to talk about it because I'm excited about it. It's something that I've been working on for a few months. And genuinely, I think it's going to really change the game next year. Really change the game. I honestly think it is manna from heaven for FPL managers. Let's wait to see how the general public take to XG and risk factors of a pass and momentum trackers and all the sorts of things that Oracle and the Premier League are going to bring you guys next season. But for FPL managers, I think you're going to love it. So I've got a bit about that a bit later on. But let's get going with the game, Sam. Let's start with Leicester 2, Newcastle 4. What the hell are we saying about this game? Because Newcastle were fantastic, weren't they? Really, really good.
It was that game that made me go, this is going to be a weird game week.
This is going to be a dodgy game week.
What is going
to happen? How good were they, Newcastle? St. Maximin and Callum Wilson, talk about making a difference in a side. You put those two in there and suddenly the team just has the confidence. The confidence was flowing through that team and they were great.
Absolutely. Keeper had a fantastic game. Anytime he was called upon, he made really good saves. I know that they eventually conceded, but for a large portion of that game, they didn't look like they were going to. I actually was really impressed by Newcastle. And, you know, again, harping back to last season for a moment, but I remember last season talking about, you know, just before we came back for Project Restart, talking about how Newcastle were maybe one of these sides that might have been on the beach last year and they might not amount to much. But actually they did. They finished the season strongly last year. And they're doing it again this year. Now, I do understand that they obviously have got more, or they had more potentially to fight for this year because they were still at risk of being dragged back down.
Sure, yeah.
But this year, with the performances that we've seen from them in the last couple of weeks in particular, and taking points from some big, big clubs, Leicester, Liverpool, sorry to remind you, you know, making...
I haven't forgotten.
they've made a real big leap. And like you say, having players like Callum Wilson and St. Max come back has made the world of difference to them.
Are there any of their players that sort of taking your fancy then? I don't think for game week 36, because they've got a home game against Manchester City in a game where I think Man City, if United keep winning, then potentially that's the game where City clinch the title. But anyway, you wouldn't bring them in, I don't think, ahead of Man City.
No.
But in game week 37, Sheffield United, more on those guys a bit later on, because I do actually want to talk about Sheffield United and Palace, because Sheffield United were dreadful, guys.
Again.
They were dreadful. And I've got some stats about Benteke. I've got some stats about Milivojevic as to why you want to target teams that are playing Sheffield United. Am I going crazy here? Sheffield United, Fulham to finish the season for Newcastle. Is it worth a punt last 2 weeks, or am I just freestyling now?
No, I don't see any reason why you can't go Callum Wilson or St. Max for the last couple of game weeks of the season. I really don't. I think, you know, we saw last year that they...
Feels a bit, why not, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, we saw last year that they can perform at their best when they want to late on, and I think there's potential this year for them to continue. They've got nothing to fight for now in terms of they are all but mathematically safe.
Yeah.
However, there will be changes at Newcastle next season, and there's always, you know, particularly players like Callum Wilson and St. Maximin, they're just the sort of, they love the game, don't they? They love playing. They're not going to just...
There's a few teams in the Premier League right now that are trying new stuff out, right? And we've seen that with Burnley over the last few game weeks, right? They're trying to be more attacking. They're trying to get away from this kind of like, oh, we're low block and we're ultra defensive, etc. And I think since the new assistant manager's coming at Newcastle, he's tried to get them higher energy. They've been working on the fitness, you can see that. And they're trying to play a more attacking, more eye-pleasing brand of football. Now, without Callum Wilson and St. Maximin, that's quite difficult because you haven't got, you know, eye-pleasing footballers, frankly. But those two are really nice, good, free-flowing, dynamic footballers. And I think they make a big difference to Newcastle. So I would not want to put anybody off having a punt on Newcastle, home to Sheffield United, away at Fulham, when they'll be playing in a relaxed way. Because as you rightly say, they're probably safe now. Well, they are pretty much safe. Leicester City, on the other hand, though, what are we saying about these guys? Because they have a game against Manchester United that completes their double, which we're currently in. Then, of course, they blank. So I want to talk to you about Iheanacho and Castan in a second. And then after that, they go into two difficult fixtures, Chelsea away and then Spurs. So, listen, as a Liverpool fan, I'm hoping those are really difficult games for them. But as a fairly neutral, I guess, are we seeing the same Leicester City collapse as last season? Or will they pick up enough points to get what they need?
Is that a sly dig?
What?
As a Liverpool fan, we might still make Europe, but you're out of it now.
No, listen,
was a little sly.
It definitely wasn't.
You be a neutral and talk about it.
I'm trying to be diplomatic on the live stream. Of course I want them to crash and burn, because that means Liverpool got more of a chance of top four.
No, I'm not saying that, but you said it was the way you piled it up to me. You talk about it because Spurs can't make it anymore.
No, I think it was you talk about it because I obviously want them to crash and burn, but I'm trying to be neutral.
Because I'm a Spurs fan, and I can't give up.
What are you saying about Iheanacho and Castagne?
Okay, so my honest opinion with Leicester is I can't work it out. At the end of every season, they seem to just go through this sort of blip. But Iheanacho, I think, is slightly different because he...
That was a well-taken goal, wasn't it, yesterday?
Yeah.
Friday.
Yeah, so even when Leicester are struggling, he's still returning the points. So he's a very, very difficult one to sell, even with a blank in 36. And even with the fixtures the way that they are, I think that Chelsea game maybe makes it a bit of an easier sell because Chelsea are so good defensively.
Yasser Ali is in the live chat. He's saying, yeah, time to sell Iheanacho. I can see Iheanacho being sold by a few, including myself, actually. I have to say that it would be very reluctantly if I did so because, again, it feels a bit like Dallas, right? You know, unbelievably good value, Iheanacho. And he's not doing anything, frankly, that would mean, yes, I definitely want to get rid of him. There are just other players that I want to bring in. And coming out of this game week, it's blank Chelsea Spurs. I mean, they are three... Well, obviously the blank's not good, is it? And then two difficult fixtures to end the season. Can he score in those games? Of course he can. Spurs at home, he can definitely score, right? Chelsea will be more difficult for him.
Yeah.
But what are we saying about... what's your plan? Are you keeping Iheanacho?
I haven't decided yet.
Right.
Castan is definitely going. 100% going for Dallas. That's 100% happening. Then there's a conversation to be had about... And maybe this is where we go next. Because there's a conversation to be had about whether it's Iheanacho that goes for somebody like Antonio.
Right.
But then West Ham today, we'll talk about them in a minute, or whether Saka goes and I replace, because it's got to be one of them, because of the blank situation.
Yeah. 3-1 to Arsenal, by the way. Sorry to interrupt you. 3-1. Willian with the goal.
Who got the assist?
The guys, I'm sure, will say in the live chat if it was a Saka assist. Until we find that out.
Okay, I'll carry on. Or whether it's Saka, because I need to lose two blanking players next week to ensure a full 11. So Saka or Iheanacho will be the ones that make way. It's a tough call, to be honest, because there's more players in the Iheanacho position that I fancy a punt on.
Yeah.
But he has been a lot more steady and reliable than Saka has.
Yeah.
So... It's a tough call, but Castagne is an easy sell, I think, right now.
All right, well, listen, second so far across the game week for BPS amongst forwards, Iheanacho. So listen, again, I'm sitting here thinking of selling him, but it feels really wrong because the kid is doing absolutely nothing wrong whatsoever. But I do feel like I want other players. I do want other players. Let's go and talk about some of those other players then. You've already mentioned Antonio. I've mentioned my man here, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, up on the board already once this evening. What are we making out of that game? I must admit, I thought he got it spot on tactically, Ancelotti. I thought the setup in a system that was there to frustrate David Moyes, I think it did a really good job.
I was really surprised by how poor West Ham were today.
Really?
I was expecting more from them than we saw. I agree with you about Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And I think, for me, I looked at these two fixtures and thought, you know, how many goals do I think he's going to get against West Ham and Villa, because, you know, Villa on their day can be defensively incredibly solid, as can West Ham when they want to be, although not so much lately without Declan Rice, but they can be.
Yeah.
So I didn't see him necessarily getting a hatful, but you look at Calvert-Lewin's fixtures, particularly for 36 and 37, and it feels quite frightening to go into those games without him.
Having said that, they are way better away from home than they are at home.
Yes.
So for them to go and pick up 3 points at the London Stadium, I dare say they'll have I back them to beat Villa in the week as well, especially without Watkins, etc. I'm backing Dina and Coleman.
Yeah.
Dina in my team, Coleman in your team, to bag us another clean sheet, fingers crossed.
Let's hope so.
I think they'll get another result against Villa. And then they go home again and you think, oh, maybe not. But it is Sheffield United and it is Wolves. And we will talk about both of those sides probably in the next two games because, good Lord, they're bad, both of those guys, aren't they? I know Wolves got the points today.
Oh, yeah.
But I kind of feel like...
They had two players sent off against
them.
There
was only one team in it until the dunk sending off. I don't know. We'll talk about that game in a second. But I agree with you. Not having Dominic Calvert-Lewin or some sort of attacking Everton asset. Talk to me about Sigurdsson, Richarlison, these sort of guys. Is it Dominic Calvert-Lewin if you're going to go for one?
Yeah.
I think it is too. I noticed, actually, as I keep saying, we'll talk about Palace in a second, but I noticed Benteke top for shots, actually, so far this game week, according to the members area on Fantasy Football Scout. With 7, by the way. That's 2 more than Callum Wilson and Gibbs-White. So he's top right now. And also noticed that, where was it? It was under Aerial Jewels. I have to have a look at this. Yes, Benteke, top for Aerial Jewels 1 as well so far this game week.
Which is unusual, because it's normally a defender that wins that.
Which is 20, by the way, 20. And Fofana was next, obviously, you're right, a defender. And then Suchek after that. With I think that looks like 14 and 13, or maybe even 13 and 12 respectively. But anyway, Benteke way out ahead on 20. Mm. So what does that tell me? That tells me in a game where Crystal Palace, who let's face it, are on the beach and haven't been that great recently themselves, coming up against a team that will allow the big striker, the good in the air striker, to win aerial duels and get shots away. That's got Dominic Calvert-Lewin written all over it for me against Sheffield United.
The only hesitation I have, you're 100% right. If I was really looking to kind of justify not owning him, James Rodriguez is normally the one that puts in the balls for him to win aerially. And without him being there, could that be an issue? Maybe. Having said that, it's Sheffield United, they're woeful. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is going to get more than one goal in that game.
Mm, I have to say, I'm looking at my team for next week, and DCL looks like a reasonable captain shout. I mean, we'll talk about it a bit later on. And of course, still got the Aston Villa game to play. He might get injured, etc., etc. But at time of recording, DCL, I think, is going to be quite highly sought after for the captaincy next week. One to look out for. Two super chats, Sam, that we need to catch up with. One from Shakalaka Mekaleka.
Shakalaka Mekaleka.
Shakalaka Mekaleka, thank you. Love for it. The super chat. Had 10 playing in game week 36 before today. So 10 playing for next game week. It's not terrible, but it's not great. You could just about get through there. But has got Watkins and Dunk. So now,
no, but Watkins is big okay. Problems. No, Watkins is fine for 36. He's back. He gets one match
back. Of course.
Ban.
Of course.
So Watkins won.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
I don't know. Was Dunk's a straight red?
Yes, because he was a last man, I think. So that is a problem.
Dunk is a problem. Yeah, Watkins will be back for 36, so that's not the end of the world.
That was my iPad going off, giving me a Sky Sports news alert to say that West Brom have been relegated from the Premier League.
Arsenal, what have you done? You've relegated a team.
I don't think you can blame Arsenal for that. I think you can blame Sam Allardyce.
Don't you always feel a bit sad when a club goes down?
Not Sam Allardyce, Sam, no.
Super
chat from Mark Dorney. Thank you, Mark, for the super chat. Not getting the best out of Lingard playing deeper with Benrahma playing gives them a problem if they don't fix it. Yeah, let's discuss that then. I realise I've got another super chat from Rio, which I'll come to in a second. But let's address Mark's point there, given that we are talking about West Ham and Everton. Jesse Lingard, then.
Oh,
I said
one.
During the game, and you were right, you agree with Mark, I think, because I sat there during the game and I made a flippant comment and said something like, good to see Jesse Lingard kind of regressing back to where his stats were suggesting he could be, you know, as in not banging in every 5 minutes. But you quite rightly pointed out in the same way that Mark did, well, actually, with Benrahma playing there, it's him that they look to for not just the outball, but the creativity. And Jesse Lingard's playing a little bit deeper and a little bit more within himself. He had a couple of shots on goal today, but he's not got that quite central running through, breaking through at pace role that he had before. So is he a problem for you now, Lingard? How do you feel about him?
Well, he's not a problem for 36 because, to be honest, anyone that's playing in 36 is welcome.
yeah, he's got a game, so we're going to play.
Yeah. I also think Antonio being back has caused some slight issues with Lingard as well. I don't think it's just Benrahma. I think because Antonio is now, they've now got an actual forward there. So it's just change of position and it isn't ideal. It's definitely not ideal.
Yeah.
In the same way that when Lingard arrived, it wasn't ideal for Suchek either. He had that, I'm going to be a slightly deeper role.
Do you think it's changed Lingard's mentality a little bit? And what I mean by that was for a little while there in that West Ham team, he was the main boy, wasn't he? He was the one getting the goals, getting the assists, getting the everything. Front man, bang, it's all built around me. All of a sudden, Benrahma's come into the team. Different dynamic. All of a sudden, Antonio's come back, as you rightly say. Does he feel maybe there's a bit less pressure on him to be the guy that goes and wins the game? And maybe he's the sort of player that thrives on that sort of pressure. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking a bit too deeply into it. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I certainly think he was enjoying being main guy.
Agree.
I think that, you know, having spent that long at Manchester United being, in fact, the total opposite of that, and literally just being left basically unnoticed in a corner.
Yeah.
You sit over there and don't say anything.
I genuinely think what we've seen from Lingard in the second half of this season is, honestly, I think you could do a psychological study on it. I think, honestly, the way that he's come into that side and been amazing. He's amazing, wasn't he, for a little while. And now, you know, a couple of players come back and he sort of changed his position a little bit. He sort of regressed a little bit. genuinely, I think there is a. I think he's a player that plays on emotion. He plays on emotion, and he plays completely on I'm the man or I'm not.
Yeah, maybe.
And when he's
right.
When he's in that confident mood and he's dancing, he's doing his little flutes and stuff, then yeah, listen, he'll bang him in for fun. But when he's not,
yeah,
he's really not. I don't know. Like you say, frankly, he's got a game in 36. I ain't selling him.
No,
but at
I
the same time, if I had a choice, I possibly would. I don't know.
I don't know. I think I saw enough from him today that would make me give him another week.
Yeah,
I think there's a number of players out there this week that that didn't score FPL points, but that showed enough that would suggest that there's still FPL points in them for the rest of the season. And Lingard is one I would put in that category as well.
All right.
If he doesn't do anything in 36, then I think that's time to move him on pre the end of the season.
Okay. All right, let's go back to the super chat that I missed from Rhea Tolstoy. That's a new name to these live streams. Rhea, very nice to see you. Thank you for the super chat. Hey guys, Rhea says, enjoyed seeing the Leeds boys. Oh, I'm sorry, Sam. Enjoyed seeing the Leeds boys back, both Rafina, Rodrigo, and Bam Bam, Bamford. Sorry, Sam, captain DCL2. So a happy girly. So Rhea's having a really nice game week. Let's go to that game then. I know you don't want to talk about it, but it is one that we do need to talk about, particularly Rhea's Leeds. We do need to talk about them because their fixtures for the remainder of the season from game week 36 onward read like this. Burnley away, Southampton away, West Brom, who have just been relegated by Arsenal, at home. So Leeds, if you saw the Fantasy Football Scout fixture difficulty rating on the FF Scout homepage, if you remember, you can do this, and you sort it by difficulty. Liverpool at the top, more on those guys later on. Leeds second with those fixtures that I've just mentioned. I don't have any Leeds in my team right now, but I'm going to change that for next week. How are you feeling about them?
Dallas, yes. 100% Dallas comes back in. And that was always the intention. 36, Dallas back.
Right.
Nothing I've seen has made me change my mind on that. In fact, if anything, it's made me more inclined to do that.
Yeah. For Castan, I guess, in your case.
For Castan, yeah.
That seems like a sensible move.
Sensible-wise, particularly with the way that Leicester end the season, I don't necessarily see clean sheets in there for him. But there absolutely is clean sheets for Dallas, potentially. And we've obviously seen his attacking returns. He was unlucky not to get another brace later.
He could
have
more. Yes, he could have more, for sure.
So, yeah, he's a no-brainer. Bamford, though, on the other hand, I got to admit, I still wasn't that impressed by Bamford.
Yeah.
I thought he had an okay game. I thought Dallas had a great game. I thought there were other players in the Leeds team that played really well. Bamford, I thought, was okay.
The BPS system disagrees with you, Sam. He was top for Leeds players, 34 BPS
in
that game.
I don't know.
FPL disagrees with you.
I just thought that I've seen him earlier on in the season, Bamford was phenomenally good.
Yeah.
Really good. This time round, I thought he was okay, but I thought there were other Leicester players that really stood out above him.
Leeds players.
I don't necessarily think he had a bad game. I'm not saying that. I just, there were others that impressed me more than him.
Who's your eye on then? So Dallas for Castan, that seems like a very sensible transfer
Rafinha
to me.
Rafinha definitely is back on my radar.
Yeah, I must admit, he's on mine as
well. He's one that's on my radar now. I was waiting for him to come back.
And look pretty sharp, didn't he?
Exactly, because you never know. When players come back from injury, when it's been a relatively longish injury, never really know how quickly they're going to come and how they're going to settle. He came and looked good again. I thought he had a good start to his comeback, if you like. And as you say, with the fixtures the way that they are for Leeds, he's another one that potentially could. And so this is where my kind of dilemma is, how many Leeds do you go? Because Rafinha and Saka could do a nice little swap about. And that might be a quite nice way into 36, 37, 38 for me. But I don't know. If I was looking to replace Iheanacho with a forward, it wouldn't be Bamford. Weirdly.
I'll tell you why else Leeds are on my radar. Not just because I thought they played well against Spurs. And as B is saying in the live chat, Harrison had a great game. He did. He played very well, Harrison. I noticed actually that Calvin Phillips came on for like the last 2 minutes of the game, just as a sort of late substitution.
Yeah.
That is good news for Leeds fans. That is good news that he's back, because he's the one that picks up those spaces. That whoever it is in the opposition that drops in that number 10, he always does a really good job. He makes them such a better outfit, Leeds. Not that they necessarily needed him in this game, but certainly I think him coming back makes both Dallas, Bamford and Rafinha all on my radar. And I must admit, I'll talk about my moves, potential early thoughts for moves for next week at the end when we talk about our teams. But Dallas and Rafinha both definitely look on for me. They really look on. Let's talk about your boys for a bit then, Spurs, because their fixtures are pretty good, right? Wolves and Aston Villa at home in the next two, which are teams that can ship goals, of course. followed by Leicester away on the last day, which could be a pivotal game. Could be huge, that. But what are we saying about this game? Two blanks now for Kane in a row. Is that a problem?
Oh, yeah, but don't even talk to me. Literally don't speak to me about VAR, because I actually...
On another day, it could have been very different.
I can't fathom that first one at all. The second one was offside.
However, I won't talk to you about VAR then, because
also had,
I don't like talking about it.
He also had one off the bar. He also had another... Like, there were so many occasions today, yesterday, where he could have and should have scored FPL points. So Kane is one that I'm absolutely not concerned about.
As Danger C says, though, in the live chat, he says, Kane, 0 goals under Ryan Mason. Oh. Is there a problem there?
Oh, shut up.
You ain't selling him ahead of Wolves at home, are you? Let's face it.
No.
You are not selling him ahead of Wolves and Aston Villa.
I think, and I think, you know, there will be some out there who bought Bale in. Because I think he's a bigger talking point than Kane. I think you're going to hold Kane for the next couple of fixtures. I can't imagine anyone's thinking of selling Kane.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Particularly given his record against Leicester as well.
I do want to have the Bale chat, though, because...
But Bale would think is more interesting.
Having... three games stand out in my mind. Gareth Bale games. Burnley at home, 4-0. Smashed it. Palace at home, 4-0. He smashed it. And then last week, I've forgotten who he played.
United.
Sheffield United. Hat-trick.
Is it
right?
Flat trap bully?
So, all at home... All against crap opposition, and you're coming up against Wolves and, okay, less so Aston Villa next, but two home games against, you know, teams that are struggling, let's say. Aston Villa are struggling for form, no doubt about it, had a fantastic season, but right now, they are struggling for form and clean sheets. Should we be looking at Bale ahead of these two? Not maybe for Leicester on the last day, but here's two games where...
Certainly for Wolves.
FPL history this season says to us, Bale starts and does well.
Yeah, I think certainly for Wolves. I think what we've seen under Mason is an attempt... to play football in the way that suits our forward players. And that is a bit more kind of a gung-ho approach. And that works against Crystal Palace. It works against Sheffield United. It don't work against Leeds.
No.
And it was never going to work against Leeds.
Because Leeds work hard, they track back, and they're hard to play against.
Yeah.
So you don't play Bale. Yeah. So, and actually, on the second... Sorry to cut across you. It was the second Leeds goal, I think. I put it in the Slack, and I was speaking to the patrons during the game. I think it was Alioski and Harrison got 2-on-1 against Aurier. And I was thinking...
That's never a good place to be.
So first of all, it's Aurier. Secondly, I'm like, well, where's his winger help? Ah, it's Bale.
And
I'm like, Bale just hasn't tracked back there, has he? And he's just left him 2-for-1.
Aurier, I actually didn't think had a bad game. But I
did
think
fine.
He was left so exposed by the fact that Bale wasn't tracking back.
Agree.
I love Gareth Bale and I will back him.
But he is a luxury player.
And in my view... That game against Leeds was an Ndombele game. And he should have been in the centre of midfield
with
Højbjerg bossing the middle. Because if you put two strong players like that in the middle, and then you play your,
luxury
players.
So what is that? Is that naive from Mason? Is that just
you're
putting Bale in because Bale scored hat trick? You can't drop him the next game, surely. That's what he must be thinking.
Maybe. But I also think he wants... I think Mason knows that our best players are our attacking players. And so he wanted to go out there and play attacking, creative football. And I can understand why. But as soon as I saw the team sheet, I thought, they're going to attack. Well, because Leeds do. They've got
it's
good
Leeds,
attacking
right? You know
players.
What you're going to get. Yeah, totally.
So my view is tactically, Mason got it a little bit wrong in this game. And I think he could have fixed it. Had he taken Bale off a bit earlier than he did and put in Ndombele on, at that point we were 2-1 down. We probably could have...
But despite that, you now hold your Spurs assets of Wolves, Aston Villa 100%, at home.
Yeah.
Even Bale, I'd suggest.
Because he's going to play all out against Wolves because that's what he'll do. Aston Villa more difficult to read, but I suspect we'll play in a similar sort of attacking vein against Villa.
Just very quickly then, if you were going to bring in Son or Bale ahead of those two nice fixtures for Spurs... Would you go with Son or would you go with Bale? Because Son, despite looking knackered again, week in, week out, again, brings home the FPL points. So you can't argue with him, can you?
He looks exhausted.
Even the goal. Did you see? On the goal, he scores it. He just stands there. He just puts his smile as if to say, I need a holiday. Just like, just standing there like, I'm knackered, but I can still bang it.
He can go to Portugal, the Sandwich Islands. Where else can he go? Or Australia and New Zealand. He can have one.
Off he goes.
I think... just reminded me of that stupid jab and go advert.
Yeah.
I'd go Bale, honestly.
Bale out of two. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I think I'd agree with you.
At this point of the season, if you're going to go with the Spurs midfielder, go with... take a risk and go with Bale. It's got more potential upside.
Very good. All right, let's move from that game. And I just want to talk really briefly about Sheffield United, Crystal Palace. Not because we should be bringing in any of their assets, in my view, but this is a team, certainly with Sheffield United, possibly with Crystal Palace. Let's look at them in a bit more detail, maybe on another week. But Sheffield United, as I mentioned before, Christian Benteke, top for shots with 7 this game week. Wilson and Gibbs-White with 5 each. So Benteke way out there in terms of shots so far this game week. Milivojevic, top, joint top for chances created alongside Albrighton and Trent with 5. And then as I mentioned before when we were talking about Calvert-Lewin, Ariel Jules, Benteke, top with 20, way ahead of the next best, which was Fofana with 13. So all of those statistics suggest to me that Palace, and I say that like that because it's Palace, they are crap. They gave Sheffield United a torrid time. So what on earth will the likes of, let's see who they've got coming up, Sheffield United, they've got Everton, then Newcastle, then Burnley. All three of those teams you should be looking at, in my view.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, I think so.
Sell him for Callum Wilson.
Well, just do a little Sheffield United hokey-cokey.
For Chris Wood.
For Chris Wood, yeah. It's, listen, you definitely should be targeting Sheffield United. That was really, really in it. Am I being harsh on Palace?
What I want to know...
Go on.
...is why on earth Brighton could not keep a clean sheet against these guys a few weeks ago when we all had to double up.
Yeah.
But yet everyone else...
Bloody McGoldrick. The one week I had Veltman and...
Tell me about
Sanchez.
It. So annoyed. Anyway,
So am I being harsh on Palace then? Were Palace good in that game?
No! Nobody's good against Sheffield United.
I actually thought Benteke was alright.
Was alright. If he'd have played against anyone else, would he have won 20 aerial duels?
No.
No, absolutely not.
So here's
not.
A question. I don't think too many FPL managers bought in Benteke, and even fewer, I think, bought in Eze. But there was a little bit of a bandwagon for Zaha.
Yeah.
Now, what are we saying going into 36? Again, they have the fixture. It's Aston Villa at home. So if you bought Zaha, you're probably unlikely to sell him because he's got the fixture. But then it's Arsenal and then Liverpool. So Zaha buyers stuck a bit now?
No. I had a Zoom call with Gaz, one of our patrons. I can't remember what day it was, Gaz. But I think it was Friday morning. And he was saying he's an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
Zaha has a ridiculously good record against Arsenal. So actually, I don't think there's any reason why you wouldn't play him against Arsenal. Would you want to play him against Aston Villa? Well, he plays against a club. So yes, you would.
All
right. So I actually don't think it's necessarily an issue if you own a Crystal Palace player going into the next couple of weeks.
All right, James already saying I'd have Benteke over Zaha. Oh, it's that type of season, folks. It's that type of season. Let's talk about Man City 1, Chelsea 2 then. A kind of dress rehearsal, if you like, for all of the cup finals that these two teams
have got
to play.
Really enjoyed this game.
What a game. Really, really good game. The two best sides in the country right now. A quick word for Sergio Aguero. What's he doing there?
Making a mug of himself?
I don't get, as you guys will know, that are regular FPL family viewers, I don't get ever any luck in FPL. I'm so not jammy, I don't get any jam ever.
Oh, shut up.
Ever. But
shut up.
I did have a Mendy penalty save this week.
Absolutely.
Need to...
To the point where he turned to me when he saved it and he went, does that even count as a save?
Does that even count as a save? Because Mendy went down on one knee, got up and caught it in one hand. It was that bad a penalty. Pep's absolutely fuming. And if he scores that... I think it was just before half-time, wasn't it? So it could have been a very, very different game. But fair play.
It was the still of Aguero's face. Did you see the still?
Oh, I don't know what he's doing.
There's an image of Mendy catching it and you just see Aguero looking oh my God, what have I done?
There is absolutely no doubt that 11-pointer from Mendy is the jammiest of 11-pointers.
Is that what it was, 11 points?
It is the... Because, of course, you save a penalty, you get bonus, don't you?
Yeah.
As a keeper. If your keeper saves a penalty, it's almost 8 points straight off the bat. 5+3. And it was the jammiest 11-pointer. But listen, I will absolutely take it. What else are we saying about Chelsea? So Chelsea now coming into the blank. Then Leicester at home and Villa. So difficult to sit here and say you'd... Well, certainly not buying ahead of a blank, are you? But they are in incredible form. So would
Who they got after the blank? Leicester?
It's Leicester and then Villa.
Well, they got to play Leicester twice. Cup final and then again.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Blimey.
So what are we saying about Chelsea? Are they a hold through the blank or are they a sell? What are you going to do? I know you don't have any Chelsea, right?
I don't have any Chelsea. But because I was preparing for the blank and I looked at the double fixture and thought, oh,
yeah,
that's not nice. I'll stay out of it.
So get so let me answer my own question then, because you haven't got any Chelsea. So I've got Mendy, Reece James and Mason Mount.
Why have you got so many?
Because they're really good. And on another day, Reece James could have had an assist in this game, right? And now they've got to play Arsenal at home, and I'm hoping he gets the start. Well, Mount obviously didn't play, feature in this game, which was a bit of a risk going into, because he did like hobble off, didn't he, during the Real Madrid game. So given how important Mount is to that side, I was not surprised to see him not start in this game. I do hope that he starts against Arsenal, because otherwise I've got Lingard coming on for a one-pointer. So I do want Mason Mount starting against Arsenal. Whether he does or he doesn't, probably going to sell him next week. Probably going to sell him. I'm probably going to sell Reece James as well. I'll keep the goalie, because the goalie, I can make the switch. I can just play Sanchez next week without too much drama. But I'm probably going to sell Reece James, and I'm probably going to sell Mason Mount. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I want to keep my Manchester United players. I've basically got two options, right? I'm going to sell Iheanacho. We'll talk about this a bit later on. And then I've got, right, so do I sell my two United or do I sell my two Chelsea?
So you're going to sell three?
I'm going to take a hit next week, yeah. Talk about that a bit later on. So if I look at it, I've got Chelsea, Leicester and Aston Villa, or I've got Manchester United, who have got Fulham and Wolves. I would rather keep Bruno and Shaw than I would Mount and Reece James.
I would too.
Also, Chelsea got a lot going on. They got a lot going on in terms of the Champions League final. United have as well, no doubt about it, but there is far less rotation in Ollie's team than there is in Tuchel's team. Anyway, more on transfers later on, but Chelsea, let's just say, they are very, very good. And they're not going to be buying them ahead of 36 because of the blank. But I like them. And I think they're going to be...
I've watched in ages.
They are going to be a force to be reckoned with next season, Chelsea.
I was really impressed by
that. They are going to be a force. If you wanted me to have a cheeky tenner on a Chelsea Premier League winning side next year, I'd have it. I'd have it.
Well, write it on your card, because then it won't happen in your predictions.
When we do predictions, I will be writing Chelsea. Chelsea, honestly, they are a very, very good side. Speaking of very good sides, Manchester City, again, not looking to buy, I don't think, though. They've got Newcastle away coming up. Then it's Brighton away and Everton away. They're going to win, right? They're going to win the league at some stage, right? If Man United can even if they can win these three games, it's just a matter of time before City take the title. They've got other things to think about, quite frankly. Will you be investing in Man City, yes or no? And is it worth talking about?
No.
It's not for me. No, not for me either. Plus, you've got the rotation that goes around it. So I think we'll move swiftly on from Manchester City. Let's talk about a team that we do want to invest in, I think, which is Liverpool 2, Southampton 0. Before I give my view on it, what do you think? What do you think of the game?
I never want to watch Liverpool with Lee ever again.
I was emotional, to be fair.
I don't know. I find Liverpool a bit frustrating to watch at the moment. Not because
you
I...
You do? Okay.
Not because I think... Just because they could be so much better than they are. And there's moments out there where you think they're gonna... And then they frustrate again. There were so many of those where Salah got away and I thought, right, here we go. And then nothing came of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
There's a couple of moments where we were like 3-on-2 and it was the front three against
and last
the back
season
two.
You just smashed it in.
Last season, that's a goal.
Yeah.
Forget about it, it's a goal.
And it's really annoying.
Yeah.
But for me, Salah is an easy keep till the end of the season. Easy, easy hold, easy captain a lot of the time. The fixtures are really nice. It's really easy to just go, there's the arm, maybe not next week, but afterwards, here's the armband. Oh no, next week included, because you play Manchester United as part of this game.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Then it's so, West Brom, Burnley and Crystal Palace. So actually, the reason you'd want to invest is the fixtures are fantastic.
It's because you can keep it, yeah. For some reason, I had it in my head that you've got to play Manchester United, but you have, but that's this week.
Trent Alexander-Arnold, Sam, top for chances created, joint top with Al Brighton and Milivojevic. Also top for crosses this week with 11. So Trent getting in amongst the BPS and I think picking up a cheeky bonus point, didn't he?
He did, he got 7. And I must admit, I enjoyed watching Trent. He was putting in some nice balls and there was a couple that went whizzing across and I was like, are you joking? Why is no one tapping that away? Salah and Trent for me are easy holds. Jota is a more interesting conversation, I think.
Yeah. How many weeks do we go with Jota saying he's unlucky, getting in the right places, he's having efforts on goal, because he is. I mean, again, we watched the game at the weekend. He's doing the right things, I think, and he's getting efforts away on goal. He's just being less clinical than he was a few weeks ago. He's still not mega expensive, is he, at around the 7 million mark? So I think with those fixtures, you probably hold, don't you? What are you going to do with him?
I don't know.
You can't sell him because he's got a game.
I'm not selling him.
And it's West Brom.
I'm not selling him for 36.
Yeah.
But if he blanks against West Brom in 36, I can see me selling him for 37.
Well, the other thing is that Liverpool's next two are away from home, West Brom and Burnley, where traditionally we have been better. Yeah. I still think there is this Anfield jitters that kicks in, right? Definitely was
you
again
get the
yesterday.
Jitters wherever you go at that 80th minute.
Well, I don't know if I totally agree with that. I'd say away from home, we've been a lot better. Leeds and the Llorente header, maybe, save that one. But even in this game, at home
panic.
To Southampton, it was panic stations again for
you
the last...
panic.
I
they
did panic.
Panic.
Yeah, I did.
Everyone panics.
I did.
At one point, he said... "If Toby, giving you an insight into my life last night, he gets to 60 minutes and he's like fidgeting.
Edge of the seat. Can't get sit still.
And he says, if we're still 1-0 at 75 minutes, I'm not watching it. I'm not, because we're going to throw it away. I'm not watching it. And then he's watching it. And then he's all fidgeting. And I was like, I'm going to do something else. So in the end, I literally wasn't watching because I was so stressed by your stress. It's really difficult with Liverpool, but I think the fixtures are just too nice.
John Chappell, thank you, John, for the question. He's saying, the question isn't, do we sell Jota? The question is, who is better than Jota for that price? And there's a couple of guys coming in, well, saying, well, it's Greenwood, you know, players like that. But
Rafinha,
well, he'll cost you know, £2 million less, won't he? So I think there are options, John, to be honest with you. But I do think with those fixtures, I still think he's going to get some game time. And for me, he is just about hold. Just about. He's borderline sell, though.
Do you think that, I know we can't do anything about it now, but do you think Jota's going to play against Manchester United, start, or will the team sheet be the same as it was before? Because if he does start against Manchester United, does that put him at risk of not starting against West Brom?
I don't know if I fully understand the question, but I don't think he'll start against Man United.
Which means he probably will start against West Brom.
I think he'll probably start against West Brom.
Fine. That was my question.
But
I maybe worded it badly.
Before we get on to Manchester United and we finish up with the games, I do want to talk about something that I mentioned at the top of the stream. So this is the new match insights that are going to be part of the Premier League's broadcast for next season. So this is something that I've been working on at work, right, for the last sort of few months and weeks. In the background. Now, for those of you that know me reasonably well, the patrons will know me reasonably well, I don't do FPL full-time. I'm not like a Sam from FPL Family or a General or anybody else, right? I don't do FPL full-time. What I do full-time is I work for a company called Oracle, or a data company. And Oracle, and by the way, this is nothing to do with me. Oracle and the Premier League decided to get together and form this partnership where Oracle is providing some of the underlying data platform. And this is getting a bit geeky now, guys, so bear with me. But I think it's going to be really interesting for FPL managers next season. So Oracle, the Oracle Cloud is going to provide the underlying data platform that some of their analytics partners are going to provide some of these analytics for the shows and for the broadcasts next season. Now, when the partnership got announced, and there's a link in the description below if you want the full press release, because it is genuinely an exciting, it's a really exciting thing for me. But I think it will be for FPL managers as well. When this starts to come to life next season, we've got three stats that are going to be the kind of first stats that we put out there on August the 16th. We've got the average possession, average formation in and out of possession. We've got the momentum tracker, which is something new that we haven't seen before. And we've got a live win probability tracker as well. So all of these three stats, you can see them on the press release in a bit more detail. But it's something that's going to bring the broadcast a bit more to life. And I think for FPL managers, and for maybe even the FPL show, right, in the future, this could be something that we use on the show. But it's something that I've been working on for a few months in my real job, let's say, with Oracle. And I'm really, really pleased and excited to tell you guys about it. I did tweet about it a little while back. So if you want to go and check out my tweets, check out the press release, read up a bit more about it. But it is something that we're going to see more of at the beginning of next season. We're going to see match insights powered by the Oracle Cloud. And I, for one, am really, really excited about it. I've been speaking to the powers that be internally at Oracle as well. And I'm hoping that we, you and I, are going to have some of these stats and some of these graphics and some of this data and some of this analytics to use here on FPL Family. That's what I'm intending to. So I don't know to what extent that's going to be. Could just be some static graphics. I don't think it's going to be anything dynamic at this stage because, frankly, we haven't got any servers running in the corner here, have we? We've got a plant. That's about the long and short of it. But if we've got some graphics that we can show, some, you know, in terms of momentum through games, what effect that might have on FPL, we're going to start introducing that and start integrating that into some of the broadcasts that we do on Sunday night in next year's FPL Family Broadcast. So listen, it's exciting for me. I hope it is exciting for you guys as well. Check out the press release, see what you think, get tweeting about it. It is going to be, I think, a bit of a game changer over the next few years between this mashup between the Premier League and Oracle Cloud. I think it's going to be really, really good. So keep your eye on that. I think it's going to be really, really good. Let's go back to the game, Sam, and talk about the final game that I want to talk about, which is the Manchester United game today. Aston Villa 1, Manchester United 3. Great, great goal from Traoré to get Aston Villa off the mark. But Manchester United, as Manchester United tend to do, dig in and have got options off the bench as usual. Cavani coming in with a classic Cavani goal.
Well, exactly as we said, didn't we? So we were asked specifically about Cavani on the FPL show, and we both of us said it doesn't matter if Cavani doesn't start these games because he always has the potential off the bench to register points.
Always.
And that's exactly what we
always saw. Yeah.
Comes on, gets a goal, looks good. Now, yes, I hate to call him an old man because I effectively makes me an old lady. However, from a Premier League perspective, he's an old statesman, isn't he?
He's in his mid-30s, yeah.
And, you know, so he's not going to be able to play 90 minutes week in, week out. He's certainly not going to be able to play 90 minutes every other day.
But every time I see him come off the bench, he bangs. I don't know whether that's just in my head, and I'm sure that's not always the case, but he always seems to get something when he comes off the bench.
But he comes in because he's got such a good footballing brain. He ends up in the right position all the time. So whenever
his movement for when Rashford picked that ball up, and Rashford does a dink over, Cavani's movement is so good on the goal. It's so good.
And I think, you know, for me, if I was Manchester United, I would be doing my utmost to keep him for next season. Because even if you can only get 20 minutes out of him each game, the 20 minutes that he gives you are so worth it.
Agree. So what are we saying about Manchester United now? So the blank and then Fulham and Wolves. So do you agree with my sentiment earlier in terms of I'm going to be benching Shaw and Fernandes, bringing them back for the Fulham game? Would you agree with that?
I'm doing the same.
Yeah,
I think so. The only thing that slightly puts me off and I'm slightly wary of is the Maguire injury during this game in terms of Shaw.
Yes.
Because from what Ollie was saying, it sounded a little bit like he wasn't really sure. I mean, they're always not really sure, are they, straight after a game when they're first are. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But I'd be surprised if we see Maguire again in the rest of this triple game week. And then, of course, depending upon how long that recovery process takes, they're going to want him back for the Europa League final. So if that means he doesn't play in the Premier League, my guess would be that he would rather sit him out, rest him up for that, than he would risk him in the Premier League.
I can see it. Yes, I can see it.
And that does worry me a little bit with Shaw, because obviously not having Maguire there defensively, that's going to weaken them.
True enough. And Joe Finley Badder is in, and he says Maguire seen in a protective boot.
Yeah,
so,
it's not great.
Yeah, keep an eye on that. And I did see Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after the match talk about giving us the community, because FPL's on his mind so much, the Man United fans, let's say, an update on Maguire on Tuesday before the next game. Okay. So I think he was hopeful that he'd be back for Liverpool. But let's see. Obviously, he's a big player for them. Obviously, they want him fit for that final. They really want him. Just a quick word on Rashford. Second for chances created. Joint second with Harrison from Leeds, who, as we mentioned before, and B mentioned, had a really good game. Rashford with 4 chances created. So Rashford in this slightly more creative role for Manchester United today, which was interesting. Again, sort of feeling his knee a little bit throughout the game. So I don't know whether there might be a little bit of something that he's managing. I know, you know,
well, he's been managing it for a few weeks, hasn't he, to be honest.
He's been managing it for a bit. So probably ahead of that blank for United, we're not thinking of bringing anybody in for 36, but they're a hold for me. They're absolutely a hold. What about your man Ollie Watkins then and Aston Villa? Seem to be falling away a little bit towards the end of the season. Has this long, chaotic season just caught up with Aston Villa a little bit? Are they just starting to feel the thinness of their squad a little bit?
Maybe they are. I mean, they are heavily reliant on certain individuals to perform well.
And you can't just keep rolling out the Grealish rhetoric, though, because previous weeks they've been pretty good.
But I don't mean Grealish, actually, at the moment, because he's kind of been gone for so long that I've sort of forgotten about him now. But they've been heavily reliant on Martinez having good games and keeping the clean sheets, the defending, you know, the likes of Mings and Konsa at the back being solid. Ollie Watkins scoring goals up top. Like, there's been a core spine in that team that's been so important. But what we're seeing is some just mistakes from that core team lately. Ollie Watkins getting sent off. Martinez letting in some goals.
It's not a mistake. But Ollie Watkins... not a mistake from Watkins. Well, that's the, well, it's just not a red card, though, is it? I mean, that's set that...
It's a second yellow.
Oh, is it?
Well, it's a dive. If you dive, you're going to get second yellow, aren't you?
It's the...
I mean, right, don't get me wrong. I'm glad. I wish he didn't get it.
Without turning it into a VAR discussion, because we could have those every week. But what bothers me is the inconsistency,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
we see dives, if that's what you want to call it, like that every week. Well, and they don't get punished. Why should Watkins be punished all of a sudden? Doesn't make sense.
And I think that's sort of what Watkins was saying.
Yeah.
I think that's what he was saying to the ref. I agree with you, by the way. But by the letter of the law, he's dived. It's a yellow card. And therefore, probably, you know, it's... Anyway... Regardless of that, I think not having Watkins, it's only for one match.
Can you say letter of the law again? You sounded like...
The letter of... No.
You sound like line of duty. You sound like Ted from line of duty.
I'll bring the wee donkey into it as well in a minute. anyone that doesn't watch line of duty has just gone, what?
Yeah, what the hell are they talking about?
So without Watkins, obviously for the second game of the double game week, but he will be back for 36. So yeah.
Don't sell him.
Don't panic.
Guys, don't panic.
He will be back. Yeah, yeah. It is annoying, don't get me wrong. Minus
he is
one.
The third most sold player this game week already, you know that, right? So people are panicking, but I'm assuming everyone watching this knows what
it's only
right.
One match ban. Yeah,
he will miss next game, but he'll be back for game week 36.
I do sort of get on board with what you're saying though with Villa. I do feel like they're a bit leggy. I do feel like they're running out of steam a little bit. Okay. So it'll be interesting to watch them play again against Everton this week and see how that pans out, because obviously they've then got quite well. It's not an easy run in either. They've got Spurs in there. Who else have they got?
Aston Villa got Crystal Palace away, Spurs away, Chelsea home.
So they've got it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag, isn't it?
Ria's in the live chat. Ria says, Mary, Joseph, Jesus and the wee yellow
there
card.
You there you go.
And there's other... So Mark's in there saying, he touched him, Sam. What can you do? He's touched him, so he, you know, it's not a dive, Mark doesn't think. He actually did get some contact.
See, I didn't see any contact. But it's VAR and it's the angle they show you.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
It annoyed me. No, it didn't. It annoyed me not as much as the Harry Kane goal that should have been a goal. if it's a dive, it's a dive, it's a dive.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
Can't say anything about it.
We can't talk too much about Arsenal versus West Brom because...
Who got their third assist, by the way?
We didn't watch the game.
Nobody, by the look of it.
Assists were Chambers, Saka and Townsend in that game.
So no one got the third assist?
No one got... I thought you guys said Willian got a goal. No. Clearly not. Oh, yes, I'll tell you what, I haven't refreshed my page. Let me refresh my page, sir. Yes, there we go, 3-1, Willian, no assist. There we go,
no assist. What is the
no
point
assist.
Of that? Do you know, really annoying...
You've still got some Saka points in that
really,
game.
Don't goals with no assist really annoy you?
No.
They really annoy me.
Apparently, Willian won the free kick. Thank you, Alexi. Willian won the free kick, so he scored from
his
own free
kick.
Actually,
he should get an assist.
No, he shouldn't, because he scored the goal.
Should
the rules,
get both.
Sam. It's not the rules.
Oh,
it's the letter of the law, Sam. Right, moving on.
Oh, I'm really sad there's no line of duty to watch tonight.
Moving on. We have to do a Patreon update for you guys that are following us over on Patreon. So if you want to come and join us over on Patreon, now's not a bad time to join us, but we are getting towards the end of the season. So this is a bit of a promotion, really, for next year. So, of course, we'll carry on our Patreon over the summer. If you want to join us and come support us over on patreon.com/FPL family, just to say thanks for the work that we do and for some of the new, benefits that you can see on screen, either the bonus podcast, the Slack access, the manager of the month competitions, the Zoom calls, everything that you can see there, and all the details are on patreon.com/FPL family. If you want to get involved over there, now's maybe not a bad time to get involved at the Ohana tier. If you want to sign up for $3, you get charged $3 on the day you sign up, but then we're not charging our patrons in June and July, quite frankly, because there's not much content going on. Not a lot of Premier League football and not a lot of content going on between June and July. Having said that, both of us, I'm sure, will still be in the Slack during the Euros. I'm pretty sure we'll be in the Slack and talking to the guys and talking to the patrons.
Oh, 100%.
Over the summer. And at some stage in June and July, the game, FPL, next season, will be released, right? And we'll start to talk about players and prices and drafts and all that sort of stuff. So we will not be charging our patrons for the months of June and July. So if you want to come and get involved with FPL Family over on Patreon, then maybe kick off on the $3 Ohana tier. You'll get charged $3 for this month. and then you'll get June and July for free, and then we hit it again in August, and we go around again for next season.
Sounds good to me.
Go check it out. If you fancy checking it out, you are very welcome to do that. And our Manager of the Month update for May looks like this. A man is currently at the top. And by the way, this is at the end of the previous game week. So at the end of game week 34,
okay,
this is how the standings were. So Aman is in there at 73 points. Gavin in at 68. And Tony in with 65. So, of course, still lots of football to play. Lots of game weeks to go. And we'll do, obviously, a full Manager of the Month update for May this time next week when game week 35 will be in the bag. And, of course, 36 will already be underway, won't it? Already be underway.
Yeah. And we'll be pretty much heading full steam ahead into 37, which starts on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy live stream next week, isn't it? Because it's going to be catching up from 1.5 game weeks and looking ahead to 37.
I was just trying to think if I could
think
of... The fun
never stops.
I was just, in my head, I was thinking, can I get a Line of Duty quote in there somewhere?
What is this? Everything's got a Line of Duty quote.
Yeah, I was just thinking, is there one I can think of? But the only one I could think about is the only thing I'm interested in is Ben Coppers. But then I was like, that won't work because that's not right, is it? It doesn't fit.
Right, Sam, well, let's see the evidence. Let's see the evidence so far of some FPL points this game week. Talk us through your team. This was taken at half-time during the Arsenal game, so I'd imagine Saka... That is your team. That is your team that you sent me not so long ago. Saka
is
on
my
team.
See it.
Tis your team, Sam. Don't know if you notice your own.
I actually can't see. Yeah, so Saka lost the point, looks like.
Oh, so he finished on 5, did he?
Finished on 5.
Okay, fair enough. So you'd have finished, well, say finished, you'd currently be on 61 points with an overall rank of how much? Where are you at right now?
58. So that's okay, that's a green arrow.
That's like a grey arrow, isn't it? It's like a grey dot, hardly moved, right?
It's a slight green, about slight, like 300 tiny or 400 places okay. or something. So, okay. you know, it's well, okay, fine. But obviously a lot to play for. I mean, the bench boost has been, pointless. Veltman, what even is that? I mean... Where is he?
So talk me through the bench boost. The bench boost was a bit of a catastrophic failure, wasn't it?
Well, no, Coleman's still got a game to go. Right. So if Coleman gets anything in the second game, then it'll be okay. It is what... I said to you months ago on one of these live streams, I said, when I play my bench boost, it will be a disaster because I had so many points on the bench this season. It was inevitable that I would pick the one week that it wasn't. Veltman's annoying, but equally, because actually I think if Veltman was there and Dunk doesn't get sent off, that's 6-6 in that game. Dunk's not sent off.
Maybe, yeah.
Just stupid Lewis Dunk behaviour.
And John Tyner, thank you for the question, John Tyner. He says, Sam, why did Dunk lose a point for Wolves' second goal when he wasn't on the pitch? I'm afraid, even if you get sent off, John, you still suffer
the consequences
from the consequences of what goes on in the game. The red card doesn't mean you're off and actually, you know, you... Because from that perspective, you could go off on the 70th minute and still bag a 4-pointer, couldn't you? Because you'd be on 6 minus 2 for the red card and you bag 4 points. No, it doesn't work like that. You lose all the points.
Yeah. So Veltman's annoying. Lingard, is what it is. Coleman, so I played my bench boost how I genuinely would have played it.
Sure.
Like, I wasn't doing any of this tomfoolery and benching players that I wouldn't have benched, which is what people do.
Tomfoolery, you called it, have you? I've heard it called stronger, but yeah.
But I don't understand it. I don't know why people do it. And I would never bench Kane. So Kane would always be played. And therefore, it would likely have been Coleman that ended up on the bench because I bought him in actually for 36 and 37 rather than this week.
Okay, sure.
So let's see what he does. There's plenty of opportunity there for points next time around because obviously I've got Martinez, Trent, Castan, Anshaw, Salayota, Fernandez, Saka, Iheanacho, should be Watkins, but no, and Coleman to play again. So plenty of opportunity
more to go. Yeah, plenty
for
more
it to be
go.
Better. 61, I mean, look, if it's not over 100 by the end of this game week, I need a recount.
Well, now you've said that, maybe, but yeah, it's looking. I think it's looking good for 100 points. The question, obviously, is how many other people get 100 points.
Oh, right? So most people should.
I think most people are looking in around the sort of maybe 50 and 60 area right now.
Most people should.
And I've seen some scores in the 70s and 80s. But 62, a very, very small green arrow. You'll take that right now, given that you've got plenty more to come. I've got 64, which is pretty good. That takes me up from 114k up to 100k.
That's that Mendy jam for you.
The Mendy jam was absolute jam, but I will take it. I need it and I'll take it. It was disappointing not to see Mason Mount play, so I've got the 0 pointer there, unless he comes back and he's fit for the Arsenal game. Then I'd back him to get something in that game, right? I think, you know, Arsenal playing okay. I'm sure they did all right against West Brom. But look, they can concede against West Brom. They can concede against the Chelsea team that are absolutely on fire, right? Fernandez still two to go. Shaw two to go. Trent, James, Dean, same as you, right? I've still got plenty still to go. It's only Kane that doesn't play again. And even Mendy's got another chance of a clean sheet and a penalty save. So I'm reasonably
if
happy.
If Mendy gets another jammy penalty save, I will literally... I'll throw him. I haven't got a picture of him. I can't throw him.
Yeah, yeah. So Joe Finley Badder, by the way, saw your bench boost and went, mother of God, your bench boost.
Brilliant. Love that. Literally love that.
We've got to stop all of the Line of Duty quotes because people that don't watch Line of Duty are like, what are they talking about?
Right, if you don't watch Line of Duty, where have you been for the last...
True enough. Yeah, true enough.
Wherever. Off you go.
As he
after
says,
this.
As he's in the chat, he says, Lee is on for the spoon. What is that, four times in a row now? Azzy, that spoon has been locked in for weeks, mate. Don't you worry about it. It's been locked in for weeks. What's the...
Fella.
What's between us? What's between us? We've got 30 points. Yeah, it's not happening, is it? It's not happening. But my goal for the season is I want to get inside that top 100k. I mean, a couple of weeks back, I had two or three game weeks that were frankly catastrophic. They were mother of God game weeks, no doubt about it.
All right, fella.
There was a couple where I had no Kane and he got 19 points. There was a couple where I tried a differential captain, it went wrong. There was one where I had a game week rank of over 8 million. It was just horrendous and I dropped to like 212k. And it's taken me about 5 or 6 weeks to get back up from there to sort of claw. It's such a slog at this stage of the season, isn't it? It's such a slog back up into the 100k.
Well, it's on template, that's the problem. And the template players have been performing.
Yeah, they have.
For the most part.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that makes taking them out and choosing differentials really difficult.
Yeah, it's been very, very difficult slog back up to 100. But I'm pretty happy to be at 100 and I've got plenty still to play in this game week. So fingers crossed, same as you, I'll get back up into maybe 100 for the week. Up into that top 100k, that would be very good. I'd take that. I would absolutely love that. Thoughts on transfers, very, very quickly, because we're running out of time. Thoughts on transfers for next week. What are your early thoughts? And they are early thoughts because so much football to be played yet.
I'm definitely doing Castagna to Dallas. And because,
that is 100% happening.
And because Dallas has already played, that may happen. I may do that soon because I'll just keep watching price rises and falls. And then it'll be a wait and see as to whether it's Iheanacho or Saka that goes as part of my the other free transfer that I have. I mean, I suppose there's scope for doing two and taking a minus four, but we'll see.
Okay, very good. I'm thinking three transfers. I have two free transfers. I'm thinking of making three and a mini wild card.
How many do you have not playing?
Well, I will have Mendy, but I can do the switch to Sanchez, so that's an easy fix. I've got James, I've got Shaw, and I've got Fernandez and Mount. And Iheanacho, so five. So I've got five, as well as Mendy, who I'm making the
switch. So you're
basically
giving yourself a sub?
Yes. So what I'd do is I would bench three of them, and I'd have to... I would transfer out three of them.
And bench two.
And I'd bench two of them, yeah. And I'd be benching Fernandes and Shaw. So my thinking is I will sell Reece James, I will sell Mason Mount, and I'll sell Kelechi Iheanacho. And the players that I'll bring in will be Dallas, Rafinha and Calvert-Lewin. My early thoughts. Very, very early thoughts. Because
the thing is, if I did three transfers, those are exactly the three players.
Is that what you think? Yeah, that's what you think. So I think they're going to be popular, right? But as we said, lots still to go in game week 35 still. A super chat. Another super chat from Shakalaka Mekaleka.
Makes me want to go, Shakalaka. What is that?
Absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Shakalaka Mekaleka. Thank you for the super chat. If Mendy saves another pen, Sam, get his beach towel. That's it, yeah. I don't know what you'd do if you saved another penalty in this game week.
Throw the whole board.
Throw the whole board. We're not sure we'd be back next week, guys. Not sure we'd be back next week.
We would be back.
We would be back next week. And we've got plenty going on this week.
Well,
am I busy this week? What's going on?
I'm going off to the Seychelles, putting my feet up on the beach.
As per previous pod, yes.
And you, as per the previous pod.
What was that on the last pod? Jules and Ron wanted to send everybody to the Seychelles on the FPL pod last week. You and him were going off on a plane somewhere, weren't you? What's going on?
No, me and Jules weren't. He was talking about players that were on the beach that you should avoid, basically. So Lee is on the official podcast this week. And Lee is also on the FPL show this week. It is a very late night FPL show.
It's a late FPL show. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So if you're in the UK, wait for the following morning for it to become available on the Premier League's website. But if you can watch live... I think it's due to start...
Past 11 UK time.
Half 11 UK time. So I'm going to be late. needs home.
That's I'll be starfishing in the bin. You won't have no space when you get home. Yeah. So
pod and show for me.
Pod and show for
any fancy football scout stuff going on with you this week?
Yes. So there will be a scout the game week this week. It will out on Thursday. That will be with Nymphria.
Oh, super.
So ladies at FPL. And we are also releasing the next part of the Ladies in FPL content on our channel this week. I think that's scheduled for Tuesday morning.
Tuesday, look out for that video on the channel, yes.
So that'll go out on Tuesday with Nim again and also with Holly from FF Community and Kylie from the Three Amigos. And there will be a Pro Pundit article from me this week while I talk about... I don't know yet. Probably... what I'm probably my final, because I think it might be my final, it'll be my final one before the end of the season. So I'll probably talk about how to end, how I'm going to plan to end the season.
The run in, as per the title on the thumbnail for this live stream, because it is now, the end is in sight. We've only got two or three game weeks left to go, guys. So start thinking about what you want to do in game week 36 when the chaos of game week 35 is over. Think about those blanks, get managing them. We'll see you this time next week when we will be amidst that chaos of the blank game week. And we'll be looking forward to game week 37, which
starts... We're finished, though. We will actually have had a finished game week.
Well, 36 are finished by this time next week.
Yes, because it starts again on Tuesday, so it has to have finished, doesn't it?
So we... Oh, goodness me. It's a football overload, isn't it? So, yeah, so 35 will have just finished on the Thursday... 36 starts on the Friday, ends on the Sunday, and then 37 starts again the following Tuesday. So we're going to be very, very busy this week, guys, and we'll be back this time next week, 8:30. I'm not going to do my ending, just so you can confirm that.
No, that's right. Everton and Sheffield United are playing while we're live streaming next Sunday
could
night. That's the last
game
of the game week. Could just be pinging every 5 minutes, Dominic Calvert-Lewin goal, couldn't
could
it?
Could be a little watch-along if we've got DCL captain. Could be a watch-along.
We could do a watch-along because it's 7 o'clock, I think.
We could do that. Watch this space, guys. Until then, leave us a like before you go. How many people have we got in, Sam? We've got to think about the numbers. We're on 365 viewing. So if every single one of you could leave us a like before you go, that would be much appreciated. And if you're new to FPL Family, hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell. And we'll see you for more FPL chaos when we'll have to start reviewing two game weeks and looking forward to another one this time next week. See you, guys.
Bye, guys.